Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Serpents and spiders, tale of a rat. Call in the spirits wherever they're at. Rap on a table. It's time to respond. Send us a message from somewhere beyond.
Amp Radio.
I gotta have more combat.
Are you ready?
2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Wilmington, North Carolina, with Cedric, the Parrot, Veronica, Lexi, and of course, the beautiful Pam. And of course, we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, not San Mateo, California, which is where we started, Pammy, a long time ago. And of course, that is the one and only Don't Fear the Reaper, Pam's favorite. Right, Pam? Hey, Kukui?
I love it. Yeah, I dig it. That's a good one.
What is it called? What's the Reaper called in Spanish?
La Muerte.
I think it's La Parca.
No, it's La Muerte.
I think.
Well, death is La Muerte.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Well, let's go into the real theme of death. Here it is.
Rubs the lotion on its skin or else gets the hose again.
Oh, I love that. Good morning, everybody. Welcome on this fabulous Sunday morning. It's going to be a great show today. We've got the totally amazing Chase Sherman joining us today. It's going to be fun.
And we were talking about that earlier, Pammy, but a young heavyweight. But his birthday, by the way, is coming up, so don't forget, November 16th is his birthday.
Okay.
From Mississippi. He's Mississippi mean, too. Did you know that?
Yeah, he is, very much so. I don't know what's in that Mississippi water, but it's coming out with some good people out there. Hey, let me ask you something. You know, Gorgeous George had posted a picture the other day on Instagram. He went and got a pedicure. And it's so funny because I think men are funny about pedicures, but I don't want a man with freaking hobbit feet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm all about a man getting a pedicure. So men... get your pedicures.
Pretty good.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I guess.
Correct the mundo.
Yeah, nothing like starting off an MMA show talking about weenuses and pedicures.
And pedicures. Okay, well, listen.
Yeah,
what the hell's going on out here?
Yeah, well,
right,
I just had
right
to,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. That was stuff I had to get off my chest. So now let's talk fights.
Yeah, let's talk fights because we're running out of time. But let's get into this, Pammy, because the great of Vanilla Gorilla Chase Sherman is coming on. Mississippi, well, we can't
What's
give
a gorilla in Spanish?
That... gorilla?
I don't know. I thought we should do this. We need, since it's just you and I today, I think we need to do it in Spanglish.
That's right. Vamos a hablar de UFC Fight Night. Cerrone.
Sí. Dime,
Steve,
dígame.
Also known as UFC Fight Night 118. Never mind. This happened yesterday afternoon. Pammy at Ergo Arena in Gdansk, Poland. Attendance was high, believe it or not, at 11,000 buy rate or the gate. A little under 700,000. But as the great John Morgan would say, everything's cheap there. Let's go through this card quickly, Pammy, because we have a lot. Get into as much as we can. How about this?
Okay.
We start off the card in the prelims, of course. Josh Emmett defeats Felipe Aranches via decision. Then we went to the women's bantamweight. We went, and Proteus and I were right about this. Aspen Ladd destroys my girl, Lena Landsberg, via TKO in the second, and it wasn't even close. Aspen Ladd is she's an animal. Boy, making her UFC debut, and of course, she sort of had UFC debut 1.1, right? Because she missed out on that one with Jessica Eye. Warley Alves, of course, defeats Salim Tuari via decision. Andre, touchy feely, your boy, Pammy, beat Marcus's boy, Artem Lobov, via unanimous decision. Did you see that fight?
I was so happy. No, because I was at work for what I was doing. And I had, you could only access that through Fight Pass, which I have Fight Pass, but I don't know the password. So I was in between patients looking through Twitter and like looking at the vines that people had posted. And truth be told, that was the only fight that I was concerned about yesterday. Man, I was so happy when I saw he won. I was just, man, happy tears. I was like, oh.
Thanks a lot, Sammy.
I'm sorry. I was happy. That was my fight I wanted to see.
And he did look good post-fight speech there, but I honestly thought more those fighters could have given a little bit more, but they did say the American fighters that made the trek over was pretty rough on them. The beds weren't good. They weren't very well.
We have to do our shout out to Team Alpha Male.
Shout out to Team Alpha Male, right? I mean, the first thing I did when before we gave a shout out to Team Alpha Male, of course, I had to call your guy, Nate, and say if it's okay if we gave a shout out to Team Alpha Male.
Fuck that!
Thank you. All right, we got that response. Ramazan Enviv, I'm butchering that name, defeats, of course, Sam Alvey, and that wasn't even close, Pammy. I mean, that was a boy.
Yeah, we talked about it, and that was such a massive weight cut. So, truth be told, did we expect him to be at 100% truthfully?
No,
I mean, he still missed weight by 4 pounds. You know, but yeah, well, I mean, the flight, what is it, a 10-hour flight? Maybe, when I flew to Germany, I think it was like an 8-hour flight. I don't know. Long flight, you know, and you keep in mind, you know, dietary changes, climate changes, temperature, you know, just everything is different. And, but again, going back to that weight cut, that's a ridiculous amount of weight. If I said, you know, I'm going to cut 5 pounds, I need to lose 5 pounds by tomorrow, I would die.
That's dehydration at that point, right? I mean, they're just dehydrating themselves. Sam Alvey's wife? And I've always listened to her, but I don't kind of pay attention to her. She's not a bad coach. She's never fought. Yeah.
Oh, and she will get on him. I think she could beat his ass. You know that? Seriously, she could probably beat his ass.
And she's over there saying, "Hey, Sam, we're in a fight. Are you in this?" I'm like, "God, I'm like gonna throw myself back. I felt like going through
fuck your bitch ass belt too."
Yeah, she needs to cut him off for a couple of weeks.
Excuse me, bitch.
Tell her to chill.
Yeah, right.
No nalgas for you.
Touch butt with that dork in the park.
Yeah, tell her to chill. Is right. All right, let's move up. Brian Kelleher, the American, of course, beats Damian Stasiak via TKO. Much closer fight, and all of a sudden it just went to crap in the third round. Marcin Held finally gets a win. Yep. Unfortunately, it is a decision win, but Nasrad.
TJ. TJ.
He needed that win so bad.
He didn't look bad, but you know what? That Nasrad.
TJ. TJ. Who's your mama?
Fighting out of Kings MMA and TriStar. Mm-hmm. He looked fantastic, Pam. So that, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the future holds for that kid, but he looked amazing making his UFC debut. To the middleweight, we win Oscar, and I'm gonna butcher this. Piechota, whatever. TJ, who's your mama? Defeats, of course, Jonathan Wilson via decision, and pretty close fight, nothing exciting. But then we went to your fight, Pammy. To the light heavyweight, we go. Jan Błachowicz defeats Devin Clark in an odd looking rear naked choke out of nowhere. Second
that
round,
was crazy.
3 minutes into it, right?
Yep, that was crazy.
Yeah, and then again, we go
Oh, I said, it just seems that a lot like as we're progressing, people are just getting, or the fighters are just getting so much more creative, you know. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, or maybe in a, even a month ago. It's almost a lot like the changing of the guard, where it's almost like the new style of MMA is taken over. But and I'm still about, you know, I still like my old school stuff. But it's really nice to see, and you know, the creativity of some of these guys. It's just amazing.
There's definitely an evolution of the fight game, and I think even if we start looking at the earlier MMA, even MMA just 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, it's become completely different. We were even talking about how the old days of fighting where you're heavy on the front leg, the non-Muay Thai style fighting, that is becoming kind of extinct because that front leg is getting butchered. So you're absolutely right. I mean, right. It's going out of style. But let's give credit where credit is due in terms of Proteus, of course, calling Carolina Kovalkiewicz over Jody Esquivel here. And Pammy, it was the fight wasn't even close, right? 30-27, 30-27, 30-26. Carolina Kovalkiewicz defeats Jody Esquivel, who's been around a little bit, but she's really known for her Invicta, making her UFC debut. Not a really exciting fight, but Carolina fought a Carolina fight, right?
Yep, and then she called out my girl. Calling out my girl.
I don't know. I don't think that was a smart fight. I would not call out it. Which girl? You have two of them. You got to pick your Brazilian, Pammy. It's either going to be a draw.
What round they rise to find answer?
Well, I like my Jessica.
To the welterweight we go. Darren Till, I'm not even going to say defeats, destroys Donald Cerrone. He had TKO in the first 4:20 into this, Pammy. And here's the thing. Anything can happen in MMA. I mean, literally people get caught, et cetera. I was completely wrong about this kid because I've seen Darren Till a couple of times, but he was huge. He was fearless. Mm-hmm. No adrenaline dump for his first main card. And honestly, I think he's a real deal. Am I over-exaggerating here, Pam?
No, he looked awesome. And I had seen him fight before, and I like his fights, but you know, I think a lot of us still have, you know, Cerrone. You know, a lot of us have Cerrone in our hearts. And you know, we did want him to win. But then, you know, I was reading something. I was reading an article about him. And he was saying that he was actually on the card for 219, that his opponent hadn't been announced yet because he was on this card. But 219 is in 2 months. So having those many fights or booked, does it take off like your concentration for the current fight? I mean, does it, because you're looking, you're doing this fight, but then you've got this up fight coming up. So does that take away what you're supposed to be putting into this fight? And do you remember when we talked the other day and I said boxing is his kryptonite? You know,
boxing is his kryptonite.
I mean, he's got one of the best Muay Thai kickboxing coaches, but his boxing, you know, does him in every time. How did Masvidal get boxing?
Here's the thing. So let's look at it this way. And it's usually the bigger fighters that I think tend to get him. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. They say that Chase Sherman, by the way, is on the line. Let's get him in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're pleased to have the one and only, the vanilla gorilla, the one and only, Chase Sherman. Chase, welcome to Amp Radio.
What's going on, man? How's it going?
Chase, we were talking about you because, listen, you're one hell of a fighter. You definitely have probably the best hair in the UFC, but most importantly, you're a young, badass heavyweight in the UFC, and frankly, most of the heavyweights there could be your father. I mean, most of them are pretty up there in age.
Yeah, it's an older division for sure, but some young guns are coming up.
You were an NCAA football player. You actually played tackle, and we've seen this move with several fighters going into from football to MMA. Did you always know you were going to be an MMA fighter, or is this something that just came on?
Yeah, I always wanted to do it, but I was always playing ball, you know, and that was a full-time job, especially going to school. You didn't have any time to do training or fighting or anything like that. So once I finished up with ball, then I just started doing some training with a couple of friends in a little garage, and just kind of took off from there.
So, well, first of all, what exactly is a fighting okra? I'm trying to picture that in my head. What is a fighting okra? What does that look like?
Yeah, it was a little okra guy with boxing gloves on. So really, we have the Delta State has two names, two mascots, kind of like a lot of schools do, kind of like, you know, Auburn University does. But what it is they're originally the Statesmen, but a long time ago, the baseball team was making a run at the national championship, and they had a little okra patch growing out in the middle of the outfield, and they kept it out there for good luck, and they ended up winning the national championship that year, but they, like, deemed the name the Fighting Okra, so that's kind of where that came
from. Oh, that is too funny. That is too funny. Yeah. Okay, so my question is, I'm not going to be all serious because this is Sunday. It's fun day Sunday, and I'm not going to get all deep and philosophical and all of that bullshit. But so I was listening to – I stayed up late last night, and I was watching, you know, videos and stuff like that. And I actually watched your show from Ariel Helwani, and where you're talking about how you had $100 in the bank, so which got me to think about another story. But anyway, what is your favorite struggle meal?
Struggle meal?
Yeah, your struggle meal. Like, oh my God, I've got eggs and rice or whatever. What was your, not favorite, but I guess your go-to struggle meal?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. If I've had to pick something out, I'd probably just something like a bologna sandwich or something like that. You know?
Oh my God. No, I'm asking because, no, listen, we have this crazy friend of ours. He's a Green Beret. I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy.
To be true.
I know.
But how gross is that?
You're fighting at UFC Shanghai, and you always stay in really, really good shape. But we've seen a lot of weight-cutting issues, Pam, and we've seen a lot of weight-cutting issues with, you know, poor Sam Alvey, right? I mean, he was cutting 30-some-odd weights. 30 some odd pounds. Typically for you, Chase, and because you're fighting on the main card and because you're going to have to travel, I don't know, let's just say 13 hours or more, what is your weight allowance or what do you allow yourself to be going into, let's just say, the 2 weeks before the fight?
Well, I never have to cut any weight because, you know, I fight at heavyweight, and I'll usually walk around like 250 to 253, so that's what I like to fight at, you know. Yeah, I like to fight around there. That's where I feel best. If I could get up to, like,
you don't have to cut any weight,
you know? No, I'm always trying to keep weight on, to be honest with you, because it's kind
damn
of
lucky,
like,
right?
I know.
Yeah,
and we were talking about that today because we were talking about these fighters that do these dramatic weight cuts and. I don't get it because it's like I was telling Tony, if I were to just say, okay, you know what, I need to cut 5 pounds by tomorrow, I would die, right? I would just die because I can't, you know? That to me, it's more so dehydration. And I just don't understand these fighters that cut this weight and they get dehydrated. How can you be 100% the next day when you're supposed to fight? I don't understand that. I don't know if it's like some kind of weird science that we don't know about, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, I like fighting in my normal weight. People always ask if I put it down to 205, and I'm like, nah, I don't feel like cutting off a limb to my body, you know what I mean?
Right? Okay, so let me ask you something.
I think you'd kill it at 205.
They have this weight, this scale that tells you, like, everything about you, your body weight, and how much muscle mass you have on you, and how many pounds of fat you have on you, and then what the percentage is, and everything like that. And like, I have like 40 pounds of body fat on me, you know, and I'm 250 pounds, and the rest of it like 40 pounds of body fat. So I'm like right at like 14%. And I was doing the math. I'm like, well, damn, even if I was like 0% body fat, I still wouldn't make you know, 205, because that's only 40 pounds, you know. Which I know some of that's water weight, you know. I have, like, you know, like 10 to 15 pounds of water weight on me, too. But still, I would have to walk, I would have to get down to, like, 4% body fat, 5% body fat just to make 205. Because, like, my natural skeletal structure and lean body mass was still, like, 215 pounds, you know.
But if you're walking around with less body fat and more muscle, doesn't that use up more oxygen? So that, doesn't that require you to have better cardio then?
More muscle does. Like if I was, you know, really muscular, like the more muscle mass you have, mm-hmm. The more muscle you have, it requires more oxygen. More fast twitch muscle, that is, you know, like the mm-hmm. white fibers, you know, like fast twitch muscle requires more oxygen, whereas slow twitch fibers, it requires less. So like sprinters have a lot of fast twitch fibers. Mm-hmm. So they obviously can't run for super long distances, but they can run they're super explosive for a short period of time. Whereas long distance runners have more red muscle fibers. So that requires less oxygen. They can run for a longer period of time. So like as a fighter, especially at heavyweight, you want to find that happy medium where you have both, because you need to be strong and explosive at times, but you also need to be able to move for 15 minutes and, you know, fight at a high pace too. So it's always hard, because that's why you see a lot of heavyweights gassing out, because they're just such bigger bodies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw you in Dallas. I went to Dallas for my birthday. That was my birthday present to watch the fight. And so Jason was on the card with you. So that was an awesome card, because I was sitting next to these two guys, and they—I don't know what kind of guys they were, because they didn't know who anybody was. And I'm sitting there telling them, "No, you need to watch this guy because he's coming up," and blah blah blah. You know, they were, I guess, casual fans, I guess. But when you fought, oh my gosh, you could hear those slaps and those punches in the whole arena. So, how does your body feel the next day? Because not any comparison, because I know, like, when I perform and when you perform, it's completely different than when you're in training. So when you have performance night, you know, your energy is different, because I know, like, when I perform the next day, my body is so sore. So I can't even imagine how you feel the next after, you know, having some little tree trunk hit you.
You know, I'm used to it. From like with football, you know, that's like a 3-hour long game, and we're banging heads the whole time, you know what I mean? So my body's kind of getting used to that day after soreness. I mean, I am sore, but most of it's just like aches, you know, unless like, because a couple times in my fights, I ended up like kicking like a knee or an elbow or something, and that, you know, that kind of like fucks my feet up and shit. So those kind of hurts. Like my feet will be hard to walk on the next day, you know what I mean? But other than that, it's not too bad. Like my face doesn't really get too sore, I guess. But I think football was more of an overall achy pain, you know what I mean?
People don't know. People obviously talk about social media, your Twitter page, which is just, people don't realize this. You're an undergrad in sports management and exercise science, right? From Delta State. So you are very learned, and especially I bring this up because the subject of do MMA fighters, especially UFC fighters, do they need managers? And because you are degreed in sports management, what's your take on it at this high level? And listen, this is not to offend anyone that you may, if you have current management, let's just get out of that. Is there anything that you can touch on in terms of that, on whether someone like you that's learned, that knows how to speak, your social media is amazing, do most UFC fighters need management?
I enjoy my management company. I don't know if it's necessarily you need them, but it always helps, you know what I mean? My guys do take care of everything that I need taken care of, you know, all the shit that I don't want to do. As far as, like, you know, the paperwork and making the phone calls and having to find out where this form goes and where that form goes and you know, and doing the plane tickets and doing all the the medicals and stuff. You know, I ask them a question, they go find the answer out for me, and they relay it to me. And that's the biggest thing for me, you know what I mean? And they make sure I stay on top of my shit, too, because I'm a procrastinator. So, you know, they're like, hey, you need to get this done, or you need to get this done. So, you know, that's worth the percentage that they get out of my purse, you know? So, you know, and another thing too, is they find you fights, you know? I know my buddy, Jason, he doesn't have a manager really. And a lot of times it's difficult for him to get fights when he needs to get them. Majority of all his fights have been on short notice, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have a manager calling up saying, hey, we're ready for a fight. We're ready for a fight. You know, they just call Jason and be like, okay, this guy fell out. You want to take the fight? You know, and I think every fight he's had has been on short notice.
Who's he fighting? Bermudez next, right? Bermudez?
He's fighting something like that. It's not Dennis Bermudez. It's some other cat. I forget his name, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tim.
Any pre-fight rituals that you have?
No, I don't really have any pre-fight rituals. I just like to nap and listen to my music. That's about it. Try not to think about it too much. You know what I mean? I don't have any rituals, so I just put my headphones on and try to relax, you know? I don't wear blue fight shorts anymore, though. I won't wear those. I'm superstitious. I lost both my fights wearing blue, so no more blue fight shorts for me.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Oh, hey, real quick, I found out Vanilla Gorilla in Spanish. Remember we were saying, what's Vanilla Gorilla in Spanish? It's Gorilla Vanilla. So,
yeah.
That's your PSA for the day.
what is it in Chinese? That's what I'm thinking about.
Holy,
you know what? I can find out. Yeah, I can find out. I don't know.
Hey, Chase, I'm going to make my last question twofold. First off, I was a DJ for many years, so I got to ask you, what's your choice of music? But I also wanted to ask you this. Who were the fighters that inspired you the most early on in your career? Like, did you have any favorite fighters? So let's start off with your music, then fighters, and then it's going to be Pam.
Okay. Yeah, music, I listen to all different kinds of music, to be honest with you. But anything that's kind of like got like a big on like classic rock, you know what I mean? But more or less like easier stuff. Does that make sense? Just something that like when you walking out to is just kind of like a good, like you're just like a cool feel. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you're walking out, you just feel like a cool cat, you know, just like a bluesier feel. Like I said, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix, I used to walk out to him all the time. It's, you know, a lot of people don't know him for all of his blue stuff, but he actually really did a bunch of good things. My last song I walked out to was Fleetwood Mac. I walked out to The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. It really just depends on what kind of mood I'm in, you know what I mean? But I always got to have something with a good little guitar intro, you know?
I'd love for you to walk out to Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood, but my final one, Who were the fighters that inspired you? I mean, do you have favorite fighters before you became pro at seven?
Speaking back to George Thorogood, I've always kind of wanted to walk out to Who Do You Love by George Thorogood. That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But the fighters that I looked up to, I looked up to, like, Alan, my coach. I like the way he fights. He's just constantly in your face, you know, not backing down. I like really offensive fighters, you know what I mean? Like, and athletic fighters. I was a big fan of John, still am. Try to duplicate the things that he does. I'm a big fan of, you know, just different aspects from different fighters. I'm a big fan of Dominic Cruz and the way he moves. Well, I like the way he moves. And obviously his fight IQ is through the roof. He's just very eloquent when you hear him talk and speak about fighting. He knows his shit. There's just different aspects, you know. Obviously, I don't know. It's just I like different fighters for different reasons, you know what I mean? I don't have like a super favorite, you know. I was a big fan of Travis Brown for a long time when he first came out. I was a you know, before I really started fighting, I was like, I want to, you know, that's how I want to fight. I want to fight like that. And hopefully after this fight, I might get to fight him, you know. Who knows?
Way to go.
So, we'll see.
Hey, my question is, and this is going to be kind of, okay, you have so many fighters out there, and they're, you know, in instant, I guess, maybe instant fame, and some of them become a little bit of a egomaniac. So, but you seem to, I mean, just really have your shit together. Your mind is together. I mean, your head is really on straight. What keeps you humble?
Keeps me humble? I mean, I just...
Yeah.
Because in any minute, you could be on the other side of the win column, you know what I mean? And the fact that really I haven't done anything, in my opinion, I haven't done anything. I haven't accomplished anything that I wanted to accomplish, you know? I mean, yeah, we're on a 2-fight win streak, but shit, I still got a long way to go. I'm not anywhere that I'm near to where I want to be, you know? And hopefully by the end of next year, you know, I will be there. So, you know, just always just got to stay humble and keep working. And I've worked with really good fighters, and I realized that the type of talent that is actually out there, and the amount of work that I still have to put in, you know what I mean? Because I'm still kind of new to the sport, and you know, I just had my first pro fight in 2014, so still got a long way to go, but just constantly learning and growing, and that's just kind of where that comes from.
So I know that you've been training up in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
What do you think of New Mexico?
Oh, God, I hate it. It's horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
You know I'm from New Mexico.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you don't live there anymore, so.
No, no. I'm at the beach. No, I live at the beach now, so no.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah,
I just wondered because.
I'm from the beach, so I don't want
to. I know, right? Right.
Yeah,
no, let me ask you. I don't get people that don't like the beach. I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just nothing to do really out there. And then like the part of Albuquerque we're in, it's just, it's on Martin Luther King Drive, and it's just like nothing but like meth heads running around the streets. And it's just like, it's just kind of like, yeah. You know, it is what it is, but that's another reason I like to train out there, because I don't have any distractions, you know what I mean? I don't have, you know, people are always like, why don't you go train down in American Top Team? I was like, oh, in Coconut Creek, Florida, down by Miami? I was like, I would never get any training done. I'd be too busy wanting to go to the beach or go party every night, or, you know? Yeah, Albuquerque, I don't have shit to deter me from my training, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, let's go out and enjoy the Albuquerque nightlife tonight. There's nothing to do, really. Yeah.
That is funny. Because I had never thought about that. Because I hadn't been, well, I'm not from Albuquerque. We call it Burke, but I'm not. I'm from the southern part, so.
Yeah. I mean, there's
recreation
the
southern
stuff
bell
to do out there. Yeah,
let's go out. No, ours was, let's go out and gangbang. Yeah, so no. I get you, but the food is good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Everybody's like fucking balls to the wall about green chili and red chili and all that stuff.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God, I have a freezer especially for green chili.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, they put damn green chili on everything before they eat it.
Yes, right? On your hamburger, on your pizza. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
You're almost a Mexican.
I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like that. Hey, Chase, listen, we want to be respectful of your time, man. I'll tell you, two of the fighters that we've enjoyed the most happen to be from Mississippi, and we were talking about it. We don't know if it's Mississippi mean or it's just the water in there, but you and Jason Knight have been absolute outstanding, man. We're rooting for you, and we can say that because, yeah, we might be media, but guess what? We're people, too. So we're definitely rooting for you and Jason, man. We hope you have a great fight in Shanghai, and man, it was great having you on. Hopefully, we'll have you on after your victory.
All right, yeah, man. I appreciate y'all having me. Y'all take care.
Thank you for coming.
God bless you, Chase.
Enjoy your
Sunday.
Thanks a lot. All right,
bye. How fun is he?
Tammy, you did it again. You always get people with personality, Pam.
It's because it's my voodoo. I got, you know, I got voodoo dolls for a reason. No, I'm kidding. No, you know what? Seriously, how nice was he? I mean, there's just something about, no offense to anybody else, there's just something about Southern men. You know, they're just, you know, it's their attitude, and they're just so sweet. They're just so gentlemanly. And how fun was he? I'm so glad that he did the show. You know, I mean, if you think about it, I was sitting there listening to him on Ariel Helwani, and then he's doing our little show. So thanks a bunch. I'm putting my sweet tea.
Yeah,
right.
Ariel Helwani, the number one show in MMA for interviews. There's no doubt about it. Personally, I'm a junkie guy, but you know,
and then
definitely
us.
The number one. Show. Yeah, and then us, of course.
And
hey,
then
Pam,
us.
A question for you. So
yes,
we just had Chase Sherman on. Ma'am, UFC on Fox 26 looks absolutely fantastic. Chase, of course, will be flying out to China, where I really think that he should be above Kylan Curran and Gina Mazzani on the fight card. And we were talking about how we're going to be together for 11 straight weeks. Let me ask you this, Pam, because we're seeing UFC 217. Not selling very well, believe it or not, with all that talent, allegedly hasn't sold well. But UFC on Fox 26 looks tremendous on paper. What are your thoughts on UFC 217, and why don't you think it's selling well?
Okay, remind me, 17 is New York?
Yeah, Bisping, GSP, yeah. Garbrandt,
Let me tell you why. Because I'm going to say a bad word. New York is fucking expensive. Do you know, it is, for me from here, I'm kidding you not, for me to fly to New York from North Carolina is twice as expensive as it is for me to fly to Vegas. Okay, so now keep in mind, once you go to New York, like when you go to Vegas, everything is right there within walking distance. I mean, we walked to the T-Mobile Arena, and then we walked back to MGM, and everybody's together. I think when you're going to New York, first of all, it's expensive. The airport sucks. Then the venue is in a completely different place. So your hotels are expensive too. I mean, very expensive. And you have to take a cab everywhere you're going. So it's just expensive. Is it a good card? Hell yeah, it's a good card. But it's expensive. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. I had read something that it was an article that somebody had posted that there were too many pay-per-views. Well, nobody's telling you to buy a pay-per-view, but I don't know why. I think it's because it's expensive, because you're looking at the tickets, which are not going to be cheap. Then you're looking at airfare, then you're looking at hotel, and then you're looking at food. So, you know, that you're looking at probably like a $5,000 weekend, you know, and if you've got, you know, for some people that's pocket change, but you know, your regular blue collar person that wants to go see a fight, that's a lot of money. ¿Entiendes, Mendes?
Pam, let me ask you this though, because I've tried to bring this up a couple times, and we always get into tangents about, you know, the UFC's next TV contract, but wouldn't you be more apt to buy and mind you, we're probably not the right people because we buy every pay-per-view, right? But
I know
I would feel more excited about buying a pay-per-view if it was once every 2 months. And this, it doesn't have anything to do with financially. It has to do with the fact that I don't really get excited for some of these cards sometimes. But wouldn't you be more
I agree with you, because it always seems like when you have these big pay-per-view cards, something always happens. I mean, somebody always pulls out, and it's not like a little somebody. It's always a main card that pulls out. You know, for example, on a pay-per-view, how many times has Khabib pulled out? When I went to Vegas and the main card, when Amanda pulled out, and that was the main card pay-per-view right there. So it just seems like something's always happening. But, you know, and I think too, from now to till December, 11 weeks of, that's a lot of fights going on. You know, that's a lot of fights. And I think, and not that I don't want to be with you all for 11 weeks, but that's a lot of fights. You know, that's a lot of people to pay attention to. And I don't know. Do you think it's oversaturation? Possibly? Or
I do, Pam. I do. And I know Marco and some of the people that are, you know, consider themselves even more hardcore than we are, right? Might say, no, it's great. But here's the thing. I mean, I want to watch good fights. I want to watch fights that where you get excited about, like the, for example, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, just, you know, whether it's, I wasn't too excited, honestly, about Cerrone versus Till.
You know what? I wasn't either. I wasn't either. And I told you what one fight I did want to see was the Feely fight. That was the one fight that I wanted to see, and that was it. And I actually put on the TV last night when I was looking, you know, at Chase videos and stuff like that, and I was actually watching the fight, and I was so into this Ariel Helwani interview that I completely missed most of the fights, but I wasn't going to go back and, oh, shoot, I missed this. Let me see what happened, because I really didn't care, you know. It was – the whole card was just – it was just an odd card, but, you know.
But didn't you feel like like 2-3 years ago, before the Ronda explosion, didn't you feel that that the cards were a little bit more stacked? And they've gone – the UFC has gone, Pam, to roster explosions, right, where they drop 50 mm-hmm. fighters at a time. I think they might have to do that again.
Well, how can you have an explosive card when you've got a card every week and you've got one strong headliner and, you know, and of course you want to showcase your up and coming fighters, you know, because how else are they going to get exposure? But to get that exposure, you need to have a strong main card to attract that undercard, because if I'm watching a fight, I'm watching it from the beginning. I mean, I'm watching the pre-fights, I'm watching the prelims, and I'm watching the main event. So in order to showcase these up-and-coming fighters, you have to have a strong main card, because those people that are true fight fans are going to watch that whole card. As I told you, when we go to Vegas to watch the fights, we're there as soon as the door opens, and we're watching every single fight.
Yeah, but you are hardcore, though. You have to admit,
I know,
you are a
right?
hardcore fan.
I am.
On Wednesday, of course, we will have Smack My Picks Up, a UFC Fight Night, Brunson versus Mashiya. That's going to be October 28th, so we're certainly looking forward to that. That's going to be Brunson versus my
Where are they fighting at?
Lyoto Machida. They're in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Right.
Oh, okay.
Damian Maia, of course.
This is his first fight since his suspension,
his
correct?
Suspension.
Machida?
Yeah, and your boy, Machida? Nico Price, is going to be on that card, who beat, of course, I bring up Nico Price because he did beat, I'm going to cue the music for you, Pam. He did beat your guy. Hang on, let me play your music, though, because he did beat your guy, Alan Jobon.
I know, hush up. Where's my music? There
All right,
it is.
Pam, before we get out of here, let's do this. Let's go into Bellator 185, because you and I were texting. You were working, of course, but you were trying to view it as much as you can. And honestly, I said this before, and listen, I love the UFC. And I love Bellator. Heck, I love every promotion, LFA, Titan, you name it. But I thought this card was a little bit more exciting on top, right? Not the prelims, because the prelims UFC fights were a lot better. But let's go into it quickly. Lisa Blaine upsets Daly City's own Anna Houlton via split decision. And I thought that was right, frankly.
Yeah, that was Ryan a good fight. Was a good one.
But it was right? I mean, I think Lisa
mm-hmm.
Blaine,
yeah, no,
I never heard of her.
It was correct. She came
but
to throw down, and
right.
she did.
Yeah, she did, right? So that was well-deserved. Ryan mm-hmm. Quinn defeats Marcus mm-hmm. Thurin via unanimous decision. That was honestly, you could have gone all the way. The big surprise, women's flyweight, we went. Bellator and UFC both trying to build up stars. But in this case, Christina Williams, man, defeated. Did I just say man? Christina Williams defeated Heather Hardy via broken nose,
that was wicked.
Oh. But honestly, Pam, she
was
losing
fight.
The fight anyway.
I mean, that was
Don't
a crazy fight. It was great. God, that kick to the face, yeah. I just kneel.
Oh, that was brutal. I mean, and you—if you heard the crack oh, that they played on TV, that was even worse.
Oh, no, because we went they to your played guy. It like 20 times. Oh, it is. Yeah.
And your
that
guy
was not. Yeah. You know what? But it was a pretty good fight. It was a good fight. ¿Cómo se dice? Baccia? Baccia?
Well, it's pronounced Bucia, he pronounces Bucia.
Let me see it. Bucia, okay. Coming off a short notice, I think he did pretty well against Gracie.
With the gray hair, too. That was surprising, right?
I know, right?
That picture must have been
a Richard Gere, yeah. Yeah, a Richard Gere.
And let's get into it, Pammy. Your guy, Juan Moore, writing himself, Gegard Mousasi, really, I think, fights a much tougher fight than I thought it would be. Alexander Slomenko showing excellent speed for a guy, allegedly 33 years old. But Mousasi's right eye was closed in the first round.
Yep.
He fought on instinct, and I'll be honest with you. Thought he fought pretty well, and I do think he narrowly beat Shlemenko, but that was a good fight.
Yeah, he narrowly beat him, and I think what saved him was those takedowns, because he couldn't he couldn't see with that eye. So I mean, by the skin of his teeth, he won, and I was so glad that he won. But man, I wish this is what, three rounds. I wish it would have been. Why don't this Bellator? I wish that this would have been a five rounder.
I don't think that would have been good for Mousasi, though. Okay.
No, but I you know, how different do you think things would have gone had that eye not happened? But a good fight though. It was a real good fight. It was very very close. So I was on pins and needles the whole time.
Yeah, I think this looks good for both. I mean, I think it looks good for Bellator because clearly that means that top UFC fighters can come in and just completely demolish.
Hey, let me ask you something. You know, what do you think about the call out to Platinum Perry?
At UFC.
Going back to Bellator. Going back to UFC. Mm-hmm. Till.
I like that fight.
Perry.
It wasn't Till.
He's got to get past Ponzi. Yeah, he's got to get past Ponzinibbio.
Yeah, I mean, it was Platinum Perry being Platinum Perry, right? He gets up on the ring and starts yapping during Darren Till.
I know, but you know what's funny? He reminded me of, you know, when you see like Lifetime movies or whatever, you have these girlfriends and they get mad at their boyfriends and they put their clothes outside and throw bleach all over them. That's the first thing I thought of when your ex throws bleach on your clothes.
Did you hear the interview? Well, you probably didn't. Fighter and the Kid, a Big Brown breakdown, basically Big Brown, Brendan Schaub interviewing Alan Jouban, and Alan Jouban saying, hey, this guy, I tried even, you know, kind of after you fight, you kind of shake hands, even though he was being disrespectful. And he said, I think a Platinum Mike Perry might be a little cuckoo, frankly. Do you get that from, is it a show or is he really crazy, Sam?
No, I think he's really crazy.
I mean,
you know, he wasn't wearing that House Arrest bracelet for nothing.
I'll tell you one thing though, Pam. Obviously he's got to get past Ponzinibbio, but prediction.
Yes.
Darren Till, as of today, if Darren Till and Mike Perry fought tomorrow, who wins?
Oh, Till, easily. Because you know what I think happens? I think Perry he likes to fight. So, and that's the thing is he's a brawler. So he goes in there kind of crazy and haphazardly, where you see Till is very technical. So everything that he throws is with a purpose. So easily, Till.
I don't disagree with you. Big man, too. I don't know if we're blowing it out of proportion by saying how good Darren Till is. He certainly surprised me because I've seen him fight a couple of times, but I wasn't really impressed by the level of his competition. I think he looked fantastic, Tammy.
Well, you know what? But the one thing that, well, kudos to, the one thing that I can say about Perry is he kind of was right on that kind of weird statement that he said. You know, he fought Donald Cerrone. He didn't fight Cowboy because, you know, you see Cowboy when he fought Lawler, that was a whole different Cowboy compared to what was yesterday.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and obviously the music's playing and we're ending this, but let me ask you this. Cerrone has lost three straight in a row, Tammy. No doubt about it. Three straight in a row. I still think that he's the same Cerrone. I still think he's got a lot of fights left. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. Somebody had asked that, and I said, don't say Bellator, because, no, he's not going to Bellator. I think he just had, you know, everybody can have a streak of bad luck, and but he's had three losses in a row, but how many wins in a row has he had? So does he need to go back down to 155? I don't know.
No, I think he's fine. I think he's fought some really tough people. By the way, Stranger Things, Marco got me into that show, and boy, I'm watching it like crazy. We went through the entire season. Tammy, what do you have? We have about 30 seconds, Tammy.
You know what? Follow Chase Sherman on Twitter. He's totally awesome. Buy one of his shirts. They're really cool shirts. He's got a new logo coming out. So if you're not following Chase Sherman, you need to follow him.
Right. At Chase Sherman, UFC. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow me at the DJ and the PJs at I'm DJ Tony. Pammy, you got to do the clothes.
And like that, we're out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Fuck your bitch ass, Bell Q.
Be sure to bring your death certificate if you decide to join us. Make final arrangements now. We've been dying to have you.